It's not playing. There we go.
It's Thursday, 7 p.m., and time for another edition of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
Call our guest line at any time during the show and talk about wine on air. Dial 646-727-3235. That's area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport, Mass.
HaberHill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com in Santa Rosa. The philosophy for my brand, Rainborn, is to only use dry farm vineyards, hence the name Rainborn.
The best way to reach us here at Ten Spoon in Montana is to go to www.tenspoon.com.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93, that's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebach Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Call now and talk about wine on air. Dial 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Glacier Park in Montana.
Famous Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
And now, it's the show dedicated to the wine industry.
Come and visit Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
This is Dr. Tom Cottrell. He is with the University of Kentucky Extension in Lexington, Kentucky. He's an enologist there.
I learned winemaking from the then 39 wineries in Napa Valley.
All right. We have Jason with us tonight.
Good evening, Ron. Good evening, Mike, from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Not only am I an attorney, that a good part of my practice focuses on wine regulations and litigation, but I also am the president of a vineyard up here. I started the Hershey-Harrisburg Wine Country.
Again, the website is greenbelt.com. Our phone number is 401-847-3777.
Info at hummingbirdridgewinery.com.
My dad always said I'm a jack of all trades. He said that. I'm just a little guy.
Anyone out there who is interested in this software, you really need to go check out this site. It's www.uncork.biz.
That's really what we're about, and that's, as you said, uncork.biz is where our main site is, and that's where people can read lots about it.
Info at vineyard@hershey.com.
Well, I grew up on the farm here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
We have a website, Walt, W-A-L-T-Z, Vineyard, with an S, don't forget the F.
Paul is a blogger.
It's blog.penlive, P as in Paul, ENNLIVE.com/wine, and that should get you to my wine classroom.
It's wineflower.com, all one word, wineflower.
It's all about wine. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, blue skies, very warm day today. I think it was like in the 90s, pretty good.
Yeah, close to the 90s today. Yeah, we're getting back into summer here.
Yes, it is. Starting already.
Well,
welcome to the program. It is Thursday, just after 7 p.m. on the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, and you want to get on the program tonight, we do have a live guest from Tennessee, our first one, for Tennessee, and we'll get that kicked off in a minute. Get on the phones right now and call us. The listener line is open, 646-727-3235. And call us now, and we'll get you queued up to talk to our guest when we bring her on. Cool. And here's Ron. Yay.
We've had some cool guests on, too. I just listened to that opening. We really have some really cool guests. Starting Tennessee tonight. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. All around the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Bali a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Starting Tennessee tonight. We're going to, as always, whenever we start a new state, tell you a little bit about it, where it is, where it's located, highways and byways and all that. Located in the southeastern United States, it's the 36th most extensive, and it's the 17th most populous of the 50 states. It's bordered by Kentucky and Virginia to the north, just a piece of Virginia to the east. North Carolina is due east of it. Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi to the south. Arkansas and Missouri to the west. The Appalachian Mountains are a big part of the eastern part of the state. Mississippi River is the western border. Excuse me. Memphis is the state's largest city, with Nashville being the capital and the second largest city. Nashville, obviously, the country music capital, and it is also the second largest city, but being the capital. The state of Tennessee has 95 counties. All of them about the same size, and all of them just little pebble-shaped things, just little round and stuff. They're all over the state. No real patterns or anything. Most of the states we get have some enormous counties. This one is just a whole bunch of counties all clustered together. Main highways through the state. Highway 40 runs back and forth to the center of the state. It hits Knoxville, which is where we're going to be tonight talking to our guest, over to Nashville, which is center west part of the state, and 40 goes down to Memphis, which is in the south, or the southwest corner of the state. 24 comes out of Chattanooga and heads northwest. Out of Chattanooga also, I-75 cuts up that direction. 81 hits the eastern corner of the state. 24, like I say, cuts through Nashville, along with 65, which goes north and south through Nashville. So a lot of major highways going through the state. Good way to get around on everything and see everything. The physical map of Tennessee, when you get to the western edge of it, it drops down. You're getting in toward the rivers and the flatlands there. Eastern part of the state, mountains, Appalachian Mountains crisscross over there. Some major rivers run around to the state. They've got quite a few rivers and quite a few dams and some larger lakes and stuff throughout Tennessee because of the mountains. The Appalachians, there's a lot of lakes and streams that are big enough to be seen actually by satellite. Mississippi watershed is part of it. Most of the state drains. In fact, just about everything does drain eventually into the Mississippi River. The elevation, obviously, since we're talking about the Appalachians, they're to the east, and the highest point in the state is Clingman's Dome, which is 6,643 feet. That's the highest point in the state. The lowest point in the state, the Mississippi River, on obviously the western side of the state, and that's only 178 feet above sea level. Although, when you look at state, the Mississippi River is right there, and that's why they have so much flooding. If you remember, Memphis flooded a few years ago. Because of the Mississippi. Wineries of Mississippi. Tennessee the Tennessee wines is there's the official website of the Tennessee Farm Wine Growers Alliance says that there are 37 wineries that belong to the Tennessee Farm Wine Growers Alliance. That doesn't mean that that's all the wineries in the state. I show 46, I think. The one we're talking to tonight is on this list. This is Blue Slip Winery in Knoxville. Tennessee is actually divided up into three sections. They have East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and West Tennessee. And I found that a lot on a lot of maps. They just naturally divide the state up into three parts because, I guess, geographical reasons or whatever, I'm not sure. But it is divided up quite a bit into those three parts. And so one thing I noticed here, and we might talk to Lynn, that's our guest tonight, a little bit about it, Tennessee laws, wine shipping out of state and all that, there's actually a website that tells pretty to the point of what you can and cannot do. Interesting points in there. We'll have to talk to our guest and see what she says and explain some of that stuff to us. There is the only AVA in Tennessee that I could find is the Mississippi Delta AVA, and a small portion of it covers the southwestern part of the state, but that's about it. I don't see any others. They grow quite a bit of different grapes there, a big variety of grapes throughout the state because of the different climates and all that, and we will be talking to our first guest in just a second here, and maybe she can tell us about the grapes that are available and what's going on and all. So a little background on Tennessee there. Looks like our guest is, well, Mike is getting a hold of her right now, and we'll get her in. Our guest tonight is Lynn Slocum from Blue Slip Winery. That, like I said earlier, is in Knoxville. And I think she's in the green room. We'll have to get her on the air here. And hello, Lynn. You're with us tonight. Welcome to All About Wine. I'm glad you can join us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great. I'm sorry we missed you last week, although, circumstances beyond your control. We understand that. It happens. So.
Yes, sorry about that. Lost one of my largest grape growers.
No, really?
So, yeah. Yes. No, yes.
That's too bad. You are our first guest for the lovely state of Tennessee. So you're going to break us in. I'm sure we will have more guests over the next few weeks, but the first one's always fun because you're able to tell us about it. Tell us about the state and what the wines do and what you do and how did you get started? There's all sorts of questions I can throw out at you. But tell us about Blue Slip Winery.
Well, Blue Slip Winery is Knoxville's first winery. We started the business in 2007 and opened the doors to sell wine in 2009, August of 2009. We opened with about 14 wines at that time, and we have about 20 now. We use all Tennessee fruit. We, in addition to grape wines, we have strawberry wine, peach wine, apple, and blueberry.
Wow.
All 100% fruit. And we're very small, and we're in an urban setting, in a historic building. And so we have some challenges of getting deliveries and doing some processing, but we've made it work.
You're in an urban setting, and I read, I got your website up here. I've been looking at this. You're in an urban setting. And I noticed that you have a lot of different wines, like you just said. Where are you sourcing your grapes? Do you have your own vineyards? Are you buying from growers? Are people using your facility? How is this working?
Buying from growers. Our largest grower is in Granger County, and they have 18 acres planted of different varieties. And then I picked up other growers along the way. Hybrids do best in Tennessee through our humid climate. Growers are having success with things like Chamberson and Cayuga White, Vidal Blanc, Traminette. Although I do have a grower that has Chardonnay, Syrah, and Tariga. And Cynthiana does well here. We have that also known as Norton in other states.
just about everywhere except Arkansas, known as Norton. Why you guys are calling it Cynthiana?
Arkansas
is the only state I've ever heard besides you now that call it Cynthiana. Everybody else refers to it as the Norton.
That's right. so we usually, about we sort of expanded to where some of our varieties we may have 4 60-gallon barrels is the most that we would make.
Oh.
In
so small batches, 60 gallons is only going to give you what, about 25 cases then?
That's right. And so we're able to control and keep the varietal.
Do you do the winemaking or do you have someone else?
I do, but it's expanded. My partner does some, and his daughter and an employee here is taking the courses at UC Davis, winemaking courses at UC Davis. And
oh,
so
she's
that
good.
She's gonna teach us the right way.
Teach you how to do it.
That's right.
So, yeah, you should be doing this. Yeah.
And, just started out as a home winemaker, and the hobby grew to be too large to keep at home, and had joined several organizations within the state of Tennessee, gotten interested in winemaking and grape growing, and Knoxville didn't have a winery, so thought we'd see if we couldn't make that happen.
Did y'all live in Knoxville then, and you just decided to find a place right there in town? Was that it?
Right. I'm a Knoxville native. And actually have a day job and hope at some point to work into the winery full time.
Well, that sounds exciting. Your wines that you make, do you use oak or do you use stainless steel or plastic? What is your most common container you're using now?
Well, all three, but primarily oak barrels.
Oh, really? No.
And then some are, aged and they don't impart as much oakiness to the wine. But they're a good vessel to control the oxygen, the surface that is exposed to oxygen, which
right
we like. But just all three, actually.
Damn, all three. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
The wines that you're making, each one of them, I'm looking at your list here, you do have quite a variety. I particularly like the name the Whoop Ass Red there. That's
that's a favorite. You know, we sell it is a good blend and people do like it, but it's you know, I think we sold a fair amount of bottles by the name.
Yeah,
from the South, it's a common phrase to open up a can of whoop ass, and so I figured a bottle would be better, huh?
Yeah. Well, I see that. I picture a big old bold red wine walking over and setting itself on the table with your steak. I mean, that's just, you know, the whoop ass red just brings that to mind there. So, you know.
that's a good description. Yes.
Is it? All right. Good. Yeah, I noticed you got a muscadines and different things in there. The muscadines grow there in Tennessee?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Do they, really? Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're wonderful. They're just we do very well with muscadine.
Yeah,
very very well.
But you also, I mean, the list of grapes that grow in Tennessee, I was amazed at. I mean, there was a tremendous amount of grapes growing are possible to grow there. I mean, I'm looking at this list here, over 30 varieties that are growing in, including Cabernet Franc and Chardonnays. Then you, Rieslings, and along with the muscadines, and I mean, it's just like it seemed like it would be the perfect climate to grow anything. Yeah, you know, am I mistaken?
The vinifera, I think, are more difficult. But if you have that microclimate, if you are at that elevation and, you know, your situation where it will grow, then yes, you know, there is some success. Now, not all vineyard situations are conducive to it. You know, I mean, muscadine is a huge crop for Tennessee. Cab Franc and Cabernet Sauvignon, there are folks that are having success with that.
What temperatures? Your vineyards obviously are reasonably close, you know, that you source, but what temperatures are you getting at the vineyards? Winter highs and lows, summer highs and lows? What type of weather is affecting the grapes?
Well, something that is problematic is a lake frost. And particularly right now, I mean, this season is so different from last year. We did not have a late frost. We've had lots of rain, though, and it is a very cool. It's cool in May for us now. Now, last year, it was a very warm spring with a late frost. It killed everything. And so we harvested second growth. And that's really, really terrible.
Yes.
To be in that situation. The productivity of last year's harvest was not good at all. But
a second growth puts you in a later season too, and you're taking a chance on, you know, early season frost in the fall.
Right. It was, last year was very tough. And, you know, this year, you make it past that hurdle. You make it to where, you know, you're not going to, okay, frost isn't going to get us. We're, you know, and the rain right now is okay, but it's getting to, you know, we're hoping it's going to end soon. It's been very heavy, and we're hoping it's going to end. And well, and that hail
early
doesn't
in the season,
get to
early in the season, you shouldn't be too much of a problem, though, is it?
It right now, it's not, but everything's blooming. And with heavy rain and with hail, wind, that can be a problem.
Oh, you're getting some nasty weather moving through then. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
All right. Well, when do you get bud break?
Yeah, it'll affect the. I'm sorry.
When do you get bud break?
Well, bud break will vary, but this year it was March 15th.
So early then.
Right.
So when you're getting that,
and so that was,
about,
I mean, that was early, but we're actually a couple of weeks behind right now than we were this time last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you really had an early bud break last year.
Yes.
But then
it
you had
very
a
warm.
Late frost.
Very, that's right.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about it. We get bud break here about second week of March, second week of March. That's about average here. And that's why it surprised me that you were getting it then up there about that time. The winter lows, what are you hitting in that area there?
Winter lows? Gosh, that can be 20s, low 20s.
So you're not getting serious below zeros?
Not serious below zeros. That can happen, but not. It's very rare.
So you don't have to worry about the grapes freezing then because of that.
No.
No. Well, that's good. And the summer highs, do you hit hundreds?
We get close to that sometimes. I mean, that is possible. We'll go high 90s.
So with all the moisture and the heat, I'm sure that there's problems with all the grapes of having mildew and molds and everything in it then.
Well, that is true. That helps you know, your leaf pulling and herbicides and so forth.
Everything
to help with that.
Everything you can possibly throw on it.
Well, we hope not everything, but yeah, that's.
Sometimes it takes it. When do you harvest then? Normally, when? I know it's going to vary because of the grapes. So when's standard harvest time?
It does. Well, we generally we will harvest Cayuga White third week in August, and we will Muscadine is the last that is harvested, and it can be about October, mid-October.
Wow, so all the way from August to the middle of October you're harvesting then, depending
That's
on
right.
what the grapes are.
Yes.
Wow. And with such a big variety of that, I'm, you know, it's a continuous thing, I'm sure. It sounds like it would
be. Oh, it is. It is. It's crazy. Yes.
Yeah. Constantly bringing them in. How much? You say that you're only doing about 60 gallons of each of them. That's about what you keep everything at, right around 60 gallons?
Well, no, we will add. I was thinking, you know, there for a while is about 120 gallons of, you know, the most varieties was pretty average, but now, you know, it could be 240 or 275 of a variety. We've recently, let's see, 2011, I guess it was, the custom crush law was passed, and so a number of our growers decided that they wanted us to make some wine for them so that they could open farm wineries. And so we increased our volume last year, although it was a poor year for most, us being in the position that we were in, we were able to take what they had and, you know, make several 60-gallon barrels and, you know, a different variety so that they're able to sell wine at their farm wineries.
And I'm going to address that, too. excuse me. I found a site here, the Tennessee Wine Lovers, Tennessee Wine Laws, and it's talking about the laws there. You mentioned that, that custom crush in of Tennessee farm wineries. Could you explain that more to me? Let me read this one paragraph here. It says, it is a Class E felony up to 1 to 2 years in prison for anyone in Tennessee other than a common carrier to transport within and throughout the state, or to possess more than 3 gallons of wine in which Tennessee excise tax has not been paid. And there is no mechanism for a consumer to do that. A winery or manufacturer or wholesale liquor is the only place to do it. And it goes on to talk about, you know, you can do a custom crush, but it has to be at a place that can do it. You can't just do it yourself. And, I mean, go into some of this with me, would you please, and you know, clarify how this this custom crush works and, you know, and distribution and stuff like that within Tennessee. It sounds a little bit antiquated, if you ask me, but, you know,
yeah.
Can you explain it?
Well, I'll try to do the best I can. now, I believe as a home winemaker, you are able to have 200 gallons per person in your household.
200 is? Wow, I didn't know.
Yeah, so a year. That's a year. And I think that's better than
rules.
some that I've heard about. I've heard some laws in other states from people at my tasting bar that we've shared some information. I think, you know, Tennessee's pretty good about that. But
yeah, that's a lot.
That is. I mean, I had a man in here that had been a winemaker all his life and lived all over the world and just wanted to retire in Alabama and couldn't he could only have like 5 gallons or something.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, you know. Alabama's horrible. We've talked to Alabama and they're horrible about that stuff. 200 gallons in Tennessee. Geez, that is a lot. It is.
Yeah. But with regard to the custom crush, we are able to purchase the fruit from the vineyard and turn it into wine for them, and we collaborate with them and what they want. We have to get the labels approved. We have to pay all the taxes. Except for the sales tax, they pay that. Any kind of, if there were formulas or something that say they wanted to, we would have to do that. We work with them on the style of the wine. Let's see. In delivering the wine to them, we have to transfer it in bond. We deliver it to them, and they sell it out of their farm winery. Some of them are just a farm. They just grow the grapes. Some have agritourism type venues to where their wine, you know, supports their event.
So they So they're not bonded. They're not a bonded winery then. They're a Tennessee farm winery.
They're a Tennessee farm winery.
And so they don't fall.
They have to go. I couldn't really speak. I'm scared I would leave something out if I spoke to all the regulations that they go through, but which I know is pretty lengthy. But I mean, I have their copies of their permits and that sort of thing in our files here. But that when they are farm winery, I mean, any regulatory agent can walk on their property and inspect them at any time.
Oh, wow. So they're doing everything except for the fermentation, and you're taking care of that for them.
That's right. Fermentation and bottling, packaging.
And bottling.
Transporting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I just read that there. You can transport. They can't, according mm-hmm. to Tennessee law here. Is there restrictions of amount that they can do? Or, I mean, if they say, okay, we want 1,000 gallons of this particular wine, then you can do it for them. I mean, let's forget, you don't have room and all that, but if they want it, there's no restrictions on the amount of wine that they have you do.
I don't think there's any restrictions on the amount we can do for them. It's been, pretty minimal for our standpoint, but no, I don't think there's any restrictions. A lot of the larger wineries in Tennessee didn't want to get involved in this. I mean, it is a lot of work and a lot of more interpersonal relationships, I guess, and into having the vessels for the smaller amount. When you have the big tanks, and the farm wineries may not have the amount of fruit to fill up a tank. They weren't very interested, or just didn't see that it was beneficial to them. We were in a position that it was something that we could do, and that it's more about what we are about. We're all for the small handcrafted wines and the local movement and that sort of thing.
So you charge them based on a wholesale type price structure?
Well, we charge them just have a calculation of what all is involved, and we charge them a per bottle price. And some provide their own labels, and so there's some kind of maybe a different price structure for those that may provide their own labels and from those that don't, and someone that may want sometimes we have to help design the label. So it's just sort of something that we work out to get to that price per bottle that varies between each client oftentimes.
Is the wine that you're making for these farm wineries made to their specs, or basically they come in and say, okay, I've got a bunch of strawberries here. I want a strawberry wine. Make one for me. Or do they come in and say, I got strawberries here. I want to help make it, and I want this end result. I mean, how does that work on that?
Well, we talk to them about what their expectations are, and most always we have our version of what the variety that they are bringing to us. And then if we always do bench trials. When the wine becomes ready or getting near ready to bottling, we will do bench trials and various samples of sweetness. The wine law for the custom winery allows them to add 5% of something that they don't grow.
Oh.
95% has to be something that is grown by them. And so they may, or they may decide to blend something that they have, you know. So we just do some, we just sit down and say, taste this, see what you think. And, you know, do you think that this Steuben might be, would you like to see what it tastes like with a little bit of your Concord in it? Or, you know, and just kind of work through different scenarios. I think we find that those bench trials are a lot of fun, a lot of we get a lot out of that. And so they are very much a part of that stage. They're not in
like
the winery every day looking at it and, you know, getting that personal. They've established a relationship with us, and they pretty much trust, you know, what we do. And then they also have, you know, input of the bottle type and the color of the cap and that sort of thing.
Of all the wineries in the state of Tennessee, how many of them that are, if you're aware of it, how many of them do that for the farm wineries?
Well, it's such a new law. Last year, I could tell you for sure that we were the only one. I'm not sure now. Yeah, I'm not sure now if we still are. But it's possible that we still are. Yeah.
How many how many farm wineries are there out there then? I mean, how many are you doing this for?
Well, the first year we had 3. We've got 3 more saying that they want us to do it this coming harvest. So a total of 6 right now.
Wow. Now these aren't, well, would these be classified as wineries? Or, I mean, if you look up Tennessee wineries, are they going to be there, or do they just fall underneath a different category?
They would, well, I guess it depends on where you're looking, but they would be, they are a farm winery, you know, custom, I don't know if it's custom crush. It's a custom crush law, but it's a farm winery.
Huh.
And we do have a wine trail that 3 of them are, 3 of the farm wineries are a part of. 3 out of the 5 are a part of.
So then they would be wineries. Because we've talked to other states, other wineries, and, you know, other states actually they are farm wineries. I mean, that's, you know, the designation here in Florida. I mean, you can be a farm winery and just be a winery, do your own stuff and everything. We are. But it gives you more benefits and stuff if you're a farm winery. And but these, it's just interesting that they do that. So they are classified as winery. Are they bonded?
I'm not. Are they bonded, Jeff? Farm wineries? No.
No.
We're bonded. They're not.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. It's a national law. I mean, TTB. You know, has that's probably. Well, that's interesting. What is this? You said it's a new law. Tennessee just passed this recently. Then obviously they did.
Yeah. It was passed in. Last year.
Huh. That's interesting. I've never heard of anything like that before. And all the states we've talked to, that's something new. You're not in any type of AVA, American Viticulture Area, there, are you?
Well, I'd have to ask that to... I mean, we are... on TTB, on our labels, we can classify that we're, you know, Tennessee wine.
Tennessee wine. Yeah, Tennessee. But as far as...
There's no appellation.
None anywhere else? Okay. I think there's one over in the southwest corner of Mississippi Valley or something over there, but I don't... I didn't know if there was anyone that covered any more of the state besides that.
I'm so, not sure. You, something I'll have to look into.
No. Okay. Not trying to put you on the spot here. I just
no, that's okay. It's a very complex subject. I learned something new every day, and it's very interesting. Could talk about it nonstop.
That area there too seems like you would be. Well, your elevation in Knoxville's on the eastern part of the state. Are you higher because of the Appalachian Mountains? Or are you out of them? Are you still in them? Where the land
well,
around
we,
there?
We're in the Smoky Mountain range, but not far from Appalachia, but that's more Kentucky, I guess, Blue Ridge Mountains.
Uh-huh.
So a little farther south than that.
So you don't have, it's not as high of an elevation overall then.
Right.
Yeah.
We are actually, well, Knoxville's in the valley.
Oh.
The most of the growers that I buy from, I guess, would still be considered just maybe a little. They're a higher elevation than Knoxville, but not a whole lot. I really couldn't tell you what that elevation is.
Well, if you're in the valley, then they just, you know, I mean, it wouldn't take much to add a little bit of elevation to them on that. Government, state and federal government. Do you love them, hate them, want to kill them, want to hug them? What?
This is a trick question here. You're going to set me up, right?
No.
Well,
I ask this all the time. And
yeah, do you? Okay. And what kind of answer do you get? That's what I need to know.
Yeah, I get a variety of everything. I've had some that wanted to blow up the government, you know, so, you know. Then I've had some that say,
great.
Oh, they work with us, you know, so I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, it's being the first as I was, people didn't know what to do with me, except for the federal government. But the local and state, they were just like, you know, oh my gosh, the local government did not know what to do with me, and there was a lot of head scratching, and I was the first.
Yeah.
So. And then the state was
the point,
a little better, but I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, was it frustrating to the point where you wanted to crawl in the corner in the fetal position and whimper, or was it?
Well, there has been a few of those, a few of those points, yes, along the way. Yeah. The with the federal government, I sent in all the volumes of paperwork.
Yeah.
And to get started. And I was called in for a phone interview that lasted an hour and 45 minutes.
Whoa.
And then you had to get your permit approved before you could ever submit your first label. So before you submitted your first label, you had to have a user ID number.
Right.
Or user ID, I guess, not a number, but a
user ID
to access the COLAs online.
Right.
So I get my permit. I'm so excited. I get online to get my user ID. It tells me to print out the form, fill it out, and mail it, U.S. mail, to Washington, D.C.
Oh, no.
Now I'm ready to open my doors, you know, in 6 months I'm hoping, and this is just delay. It took me 3 months to get the phone interview.
Oh my!
So anyway, I sent it overnight mail, FedEx, and I called after a couple of weeks to check on it. And they said, well, it takes at least, once we receive it, it takes at least 30 days because it goes through anthrax screening. And I said, well, okay, but if you send it FedEx, and she said, oh, well, if you send it FedEx, then you should hear back sooner. And it wasn't a couple of days, and I did.
Uh-huh.
Hard back, so I was able to then start the label approval process.
Oh, my.
So that was another, you know, the artwork was done, but to get the artwork uploaded in a readable format, my graphic artist was using vector files, and they didn't accept that. So we had to do
that.
A lot of manipulating before. God,
yeah.
And then when you have 20-something wines, you know, I thought, could I have made it any more complicated? That was that was time for the fetal position. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, I really feel your pain. So the federal government gave you a hassle. So the state government, did they just say, oh, well, you're new, we don't know what to do, just go do it?
Well, we are regulated by the Department of Ag far as our, you know, they would be like your health department. And they were great. They really were great and continue to be. And we're also regulated by the Alcohol Beverage Commission. And I have a good relationship with them as well. So it's, you know, I can't say. Local didn't know what to do with it. And, you know, but the Department of Ag and ABC, we've worked well together. And we've been through an audit by the federal government, and he was, you know, fair, good.
I think we've all been attacked by the federal government at one time or another. It never fails. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned Wine Trail earlier. You are on a wine trail?
We are. We just established one several months ago. And there's five of us on a wine trail. It's the Four Rivers Wine Trail. And it actually, one of the wineries connects the Four Rivers with another wine trail called Rocky Top. And we have, everybody's got cards, and if you visit all five, you get a free glass, a real nice wine glass, and see, we're being in the city, not having a vineyard, it allows, you know, our customers to go out and see the vineyards and what the farm wineries have to offer. It's a real unique experience. I think folks are always looking for a unique experience.
Oh yes. So you have a little paper or something that they take around and y'all initial them or stamp it or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's no time frame. as to how, you know, you don't have to do it in a day or anything like that, just at your leisure. And then after you get your last stamp, you get the glass.
How far apart are all of you?
Well, they're not exactly sure what the total mile range is, but they're all in bordering counties. The closest one to us is maybe 30 minutes away.
Oh.
And then yeah. I would say probably the rest are, you know, 30 to 45 minutes from me.
That's not bad. They're all reasonably close then, within an hour. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, Mike, do you have any questions for Lynn tonight?
I was going to ask about your event space. You have, what is that? What kind of size are we looking at? What kind of events can you host there at the winery?
Well, it's very intimate space. It's in our barrel room, and it's the barrel room's probably about 800 square feet. But we have parties, say 25, if they're seated. And then we have sometimes done like server pass hors d'oeuvres and stand up and do like an open house and where people are just coming throughout the evening, and we've accommodated, 80 people, but coming
wow.
and going, you know. So very, very an intimate type setting. We do birthday parties, bridal showers, reception, class reunion, maybe not class reunions, maybe girls not out type things.
Right. Huh. Interesting. And since you opened in August 2009, have you and you were the first, have you kind of paved the way for other wineries in Knoxville, or is it pretty much just Blue Slip Winery now and that's it?
It's still just us right now. It is.
Okay.
One of the local regulations is you have to be so many feet away from a church or a liquor store or school. And so there is a liquor store about 1,000 feet, a little over 1,000 feet away from us. And that's, 1,000 feet is as close as we could be to each other. And there are some churches. So, that could be reason why there's no more wineries in the urban area. But
yeah.
there are, we hear of new vineyards popping up all the time, and I think that we will see more of the winery in the rural area or the farm winery in the rural area, probably more so than an actual winery.
Okay. Yeah,
how
very good.
How fast are the wineries growing in Tennessee? I mean, you opened, 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. Are you one of the newest, or there's a lot of them popping up? Or how's the growth in wineries in Tennessee?
Well, it's really at a pretty slow, I guess it's all in how you look at it. I think there's probably there's about 20 added since we started.
Wow.
20 to 25 since we started. Statewide.
And
that's, and with the farm winery, three I know have gotten, that we've contracted with, they were approved, and then there's three more that I know of that have gotten their approvals for this coming year. So total of six that I know of. Now there obviously could be more.
So it is growing quite a bit, though, there in Tennessee. I mean, it seems like wineries are really starting to pop up quite often.
Yeah, it is. I've read and that before Prohibition, Tennessee was pretty well known for grape growing. But after Prohibition, they pulled the grapes up and planted tobacco.
Yeah.
So now they're pulling up tobacco and planting grapes.
Planting grapes. They are. You go to Kentucky. You walk into any winery in Kentucky, and the first thing they say to you is, "We used to be a tobacco farm. Now we grow grapes," and because that's what's happening all through that area there. So anything else,
so much,
Mike?
More.
No, I'm good. It's very interesting. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Lynn. You were going to say something.
Well, now y'all, you've been to my website. You see my website, blueslip.com.
Yeah, simple. Well, give us all the contact information. Give us, the website, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Facebook, your phone numbers, your address, everything. So if anybody's out and about and they want to stop in at Blue Slip, say, "I listened to Lynn. I'm going to go in and meet her." Then give us all the information.
I hope they do. I really do. Our physical address. We are located in Knoxville's Old City, and it's we're at 105 Jackson Avenue, Knoxville. Zip code 37902. Our phone number is 865-249-7808, and we are on Facebook. And I guess it's Blue Slip Winery. I can't really say right now. I believe that's what it is. Oh, goodness. And, we've got like 900 friends. That's pretty good, I guess.
That's pretty good, yeah. Yeah, that is.
I'm sure there's a lot better. But anyway, I'm pretty proud of that. And
Your hours?
Our hours, we are open Tuesday through Thursday, 11 to 7, Friday and Saturday, 11 to 8, and Sunday, noon to 5. And we're the only place in Knoxville you can buy a bottle of wine on Sunday.
Really?
Because there's no wine in grocery stores here.
Ah, well, that's odd. And the liquor stores are closed?
And liquor stores are closed.
Well, then if I'm ever in Knoxville, then I will know where to go for a bottle of wine on Sunday.
That's right. For now. That may change. Fighting for it, too. I thought it would pass this year, but it didn't, so...
But government's government. You got to allow for that. Anything else you want to tell us about Blue Slip before we thank you for the program?
Well, let's see. Blue Slip, unlike a pink slip, is a weekend pass or a ticket to ride. Temporary pass is the true meaning to us behind the word, but we like to leave it up to interpretation, and it's an abstract term across the tasting bar that I when I first heard the word, I thought, is it a boat slip? And then, so that it just kind of leave it up to interpretation, and just like wine.
You charge for tastings?
No, it's against the law in the state of Tennessee.
Oh, is it?
I have to give it away and pay taxes on it.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No winery in Tennessee can charge for tasting then.
No.
Wow. Do you taste all of them?
You can taste up to 6 ounces.
Oh, and that's it. That's another law then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So do you measure them out, or do you just sort of like free pour?
Well, we've got the, you know, we've got the half ounce pours on our bottle.
Oh. So, well, that's, yeah, I suppose so.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it is.
By alone.
Huh. Oh, wow.
Alcohol laws are
interesting. Paying out of pocket for it. Yeah, paying out of pocket.
Right.
And, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
I know. It doesn't.
Can you, I don't know how this would work, but, I mean, can you, I don't mean mask it as in, like, try to slip it in there illegally, but can you say, hey, we're going to have tasting, and it's, but admission into the winery is like $2 or $3, or would they not allow that either?
I have to think about that one. I'm not sure. That
like
one thing you might do is charge for the glass. You might could say, tasting's free, but the glass is $5. You keep the glass.
Okay. Yeah. You keep the glass. Okay.
Yeah.
You keep the glass.
But then
there
after
you
a while,
go.
I mean, how many people want another glass? You know, if you have repeat customers,
well,
then
tell
you got to remember.
The glass back and the tasting's free.
Right. Right. So, I don't know. And then, you know, I guess you could have, we have a nice wine glass. Is what we've always used. But now, you know, some people might use just a little plastic medicine cup or something. But that just kind of ruined it for me. So
yeah.
You have one glass.
$5 for the glass, then you get the tasting. Then you bring your glass back. Every time you bring it back, it's a free tasting.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
Mm. So. And then the government will come in and close you down because you're breaking the law.
I know. Yeah. It makes me nervous to try to interpret.
Yeah. I know. Don't want to get you closed down, Lynn. Sorry.
No, please don't. Oh, my.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program with us tonight. It was great. It was interesting. It was informative. I loved it. Thanks for taking the time out and being a guest. And if anybody's out there in the Knoxville area, be sure to stop by and visit Blue Slip Winery. And if we're ever in the area, I will guarantee you I'll come and meet you and taste some wines.
Well, I hope so.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye.
Good night.
Bye now.
Good night. Wow. Very cool. Where is our
interesting
audience?
Stuff? Well, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I wasn't expecting that. So.
And this farm wine stuff, that's interesting, too. We're going to have to pursue that while we're visiting Tennessee here and find out some more information about that and
what's going on
with that. I mean, it's just.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to open up a farm winery in Tennessee, so I'll have you do all the work, and I'll sit here and put it on the shelf and sell it.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
That's pretty much it.
And my question is, too, when you go into Tennessee Farm Winery, am I going to be paying more than I would at just a regular winery because I'm not doing everything myself. I'm having a second person do it. I don't know. It opens up other questions for me. So
interesting. Okay.
But interesting program tonight. Fun information there. She was very informative. I enjoyed it. So we'll continue with Tennessee next week and see if we can't find out some more stuff.
Yeah, and that was, there again at blueslip.com, and if you didn't catch that or your weren't able to, you can go to our website, allaboutwinebtr.com, click on the guest links, and it's up there, Blue Slip Winery. So just click on that, and you can get to their website as well. So very cool. The only one in Knoxville. I wasn't sure if they just kind of opened the doors to other possibilities, or but you know the way she was saying, you have to be 1,000 feet from
everything.
Other, you know, liquor, yeah, pretty much civilization, and
yeah, can't be around schools, can't be around churches, can't be around another wine, another liquor store or winery, and you know, 1,000 feet
fun.
From everything.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I wonder if that would apply if you go up. If you have a tall building, I wonder if, you know.
Yeah, 1,000 feet, though.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Really tall. Yeah.
Yeah.
This Saturday, is it? This Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah, the 25th. There's another wine fest, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m., and you can come out and enjoy the weekend. I believe the weather is going to be fantastic, a little bit on the warm side, but that's the way it is. But it's, the sun's going to be out. It's going to be a great day. And you're going to have live entertainment from Patrick Foy.
Correct.
So you can go out there, have a glass of wine, relax outside or inside, and just enjoy the day at Florida State's Winery. And there's going to be plenty of vendors at WineFest this Saturday. A lot of returning, looks like, and it's going to be great. So visit the vendors and do some shopping. Shopping is a lot of fun out there. It's pet-friendly, kid-family friendly. You can bring everybody and just enjoy, you know, pick up some unique gifts and some really cool stuff, some handmade stuff, some items that you're familiar with and not familiar with, and it's really cool. So go enjoy the weekend at Florida State's Winery this Saturday. It's going to be great, and it's always beautiful weather under those giant oak trees in the back, and a lot of fun. And I'll be back in a minute. Here's a little more details for you. Stand by. Huh?
Coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Wine Fest at Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Come out and enjoy the live music. Relax with a glass of world-class wine. Participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have fun and shop our vendors offering many unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Wine Fest is a great time to pick up unique gift items. Enjoy your weekend with us at Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From I-75, take exit 285 and turn west for approximately 4 miles. See you Saturday at Wine Fest.
Okay, there you go.
And Sunday we have a class.
Yeah, well, it's busy time. Sunday the 26th, you have a wine class. Those are always cool to attend. That would be from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. You need to call and reserve your seat. So do give the winery a call at area code 813-996-2113. That is the phone number, 813-996-2113, and make reservations for this Sunday to go to the wine class. Plenty of topics are covered, and plus there's a sample, there's tasting and discussions, and you have brief history of wines, wine grape varietals, grape diseases, glass styles and uses, cork history, evolution and uses, oak aging, and a whole lot more, how to rate wines, all that good stuff. It's a great, great program, and you definitely want to go there this Sunday as well. So, you're in the area. You can make a Saturday for shopping and Sunday and attend the class. But be sure to call first and reserve your seat for the class. So that is this Sunday, May 26th, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., wine class at Florida State's Winery in the tasting room, and be sure to RSVP. So really cool. If you visit the website, go to floridastateswines.com and subscribe to the newsletter that comes out every 2 weeks. And, every 2 weeks before a wine fest, I believe. And you get there's interesting recipes and wine facts and event information in the newsletter. And it's a great read, and you'll be happy you did that. So definitely do that. Subscribe and and come out to the winery. Fantastic. Open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., so except major holidays. And which reminds me, when is I'm trying to look up. Is it Memorial Day this weekend? Because I think I'm traveling.
Yes,
and
Monday.
Not a good weekend to travel. Monday, that's right. So are you open Monday?
Nope, we'll
or
be
are you
open.
Closed Monday?
We'll be open every day.
Okay, there you go.
Festival Saturday, class Sunday. We'll be open Monday.
Wow.
And so people out.
Be busy.
You have people coming from out of state coming to visit you, mm-hmm. come out to the winery. Or if you are traveling and visiting people from out of state, swing by the winery.
Yeah,
and tell
this
me
is great.
Tell me you listen to the program.
Yep. And first they'll look at you like, what program? And then they'll say, oh, okay.
Oh,
that program.
Yeah. Oh, really good.
Yeah.
There's a listener.
That's right. Yeah. So see if it works that way, because I know some of the people who come in there, you tell them about the show, and then you kind of hook up with wineries in different places from people coming in. So let's see if we can get people to come in who heard it from the show, heard the information from the show. So come on out and enjoy. It's going to be a great weekend. Next Thursday.
We're staying in Tennessee.
May 30th. May the 30th. And, we'll be in Tennessee next Thursday. And we'll fill you in all the details and everything on the Facebook page and on, I don't know about Twitter. But just if you go to Facebook, Ron posts there quite a bit as we get guests lined up. So it's facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR. That's on Facebook. That's all one word, no spaces or dashes. facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR. And if you're on Facebook, you have an account, please like the page. Don't just, it's okay if you visit it and get information. But, while you're passing through, hit the little like button so we know how many people are on there. So
that's always nice to have you do that, yes.
Yeah. So, and, if you're a winery, we turn around and like you back. So if you're in the wine
that's
industry,
right. Yeah, we do.
Yeah. We see that come up, we'll like you back. I do that on Twitter, too. So I just I like them on our Twitter account, Blue Slip Winery. So I hit the little follow button. There you go. I hit the follow button.
Hey,
and so we're following them as well on Twitter. So cool. Don't forget to check out the website as well, allaboutwinebtr.com. And that has information, plus links to our previous guest and everything. So awesome. We'll see you all. We'll see you May 30th. We'll stay on Tennessee for looks like a short while or maybe a long while. Who knows? Another Pennsylvania. What was that one we went for months? Was it Pennsylvania?
Yeah, Pennsylvania, with California, Pennsylvania, New York. Maybe Tennessee is going to be one of those too. Yeah,
could be. Yeah, we'll see how that rounds out. Thank you all for tuning in tonight, and to everybody in the world, wherever you happen to be, if you want to email us, it's allaboutwine101@gmail.com for comments, questions. You want to be a guest on the show, do that. And we'll see you all next Thursday, May 30th. Yeah, suggestions.
Yep.
We'll see you all next time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Yep. Here we go.
Yeah.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show. And thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/AllAboutWineBTR. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting.
Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.